Thank you, Lord. Thank you all. Beautiful. Beautiful. God can take that which is old and make it new. He does that with us, that which is dead and makes it alive. So we thank him for that. Have you finished your Christmas shopping? Have you? Do you do Christmas shopping? See, we've had a busy month or so, you know, so I just said, I'm not buying gifts for people. Okay. And so every once in a while I opt out. But today I want to talk about the perfect gift. And, you know, if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, it might be because you're just trying to find the right gift for that person. And, you know, the thing that they'll really like. And I remember years ago, the newspaper came out and it had an article detailing the return policies of the various stores. Because the truth is, no matter how hard you try to find the perfect gift, the right color, the right size, the right thing, you know, the thing they're going to want, some gifts are going to need to be returned. And in our family gift exchange that we did for many, many, many years, we would draw names. Somebody, oddly to me, thought that Radar the Weather Dog, the stuffed animal version, was a perfect gift, you know, for someone else. Now, some of us were going, no, oh God, when they saw that was opened in the White Elephant Exchange, I don't want that. And they're hoping for like a gift card that they can go eat somewhere. But others were like vying over Radar the Weather Dog, the stuffed animal version. Some of you are not old enough to know Radar the Weather Dog. But years ago on one of the networks, that was a little thing that they used in the weather time during the news. And so there's people that love all different kind of stuff. You know, at Marshall's a long time ago, they used to have two lines. One was for returns and one was for purchases during the month of December. And even before Christmas, the line for the returns was longer than the line for purchases in some of the Marshall stores. And I'm so hard to buy for. Now, people know that. Like, you can't buy for Lena. Unless you're Alan, you can't buy anything that Lena's going to like. Okay? Because basically, Alan tells me, that looks horrible. Put that here. Do this. And so, do you like this, Alan? Okay, I like it. And so you can't buy me anything. And I even spend a lot of my time returning the things I think I like. And so it's hard to buy gifts even for yourself sometimes. And, you know, my son Paul takes after me in several ways. But one of those is he is hard to buy for. And he's very picky. He calls it discriminating, but he's very picky. And so one year I found this really cool vase at a store. And he goes, Mom, please don't buy me anything. Don't even try. Just give me money. Mom, money for me is the perfect gift. And he goes, and I said, Son, I'm going to give you cash, but I'm also going to give you this vase. I think it will look great in your apartment. That was years ago before he had his home, and he lived in an apartment. And he goes, Mom, I'm not going to like it. I mean, I don't want you to be disappointed. I just think you're just wasting your time. Mom, I'm not going to like it. And I said, just try it, son. Just so with the gift, you know, of cash, I gave him the vase. He opened it up and he just sort of stared at it there. And he withheld judgment, like, ooh, I don't want to say, I'm just going to withhold judgment till I get home and try it. And he called me and he goes, Mom, something amazing happened. It actually looks good. He goes, it actually looks good. I like it. And I'm like, I told you. And he goes, Mom, don't get too confident. Don't think this will ever happen again. He goes, this is just probably a one-time fluke. He said, so don't be trying this anymore. And then at the other end of the spectrum, see, that's me. That's my son, Paul. We have Cammy. Cammy likes everything. Okay. We go to a store and we'll look around and she goes, oh, I like this. Oh my God, I love this. Oh, I love that. I could use, and I'm trying to find one thing I like. One. And Cammy has already found 17 and she likes them all. And so, you know, there's people on this end of the spectrum and that end of the spectrum. But sometimes it's hard to find the perfect gift. USA Today, y'all know that newspaper, years ago, they asked celebrities to describe their worst gift they'd ever received and the best gift they'd ever received. Now, today I brought a little gift bag. And so if I look inside, these are some of the gifts that I've gotten over the years. And one of the gifts gotten for somebody over the years. And, you know, sometimes you get something that means a lot to you, but the people you give it to, they don't really care about it. There was a year when I actually thought the Generation Jesus yo-yos were the best present on the face of the earth because I loved my Generation Jesus kids, and we had logos, you know, put on yo-yos and actually made yo-yos, and I just thought these were the coolest things ever. Y'all remember these, some of you? You don't still have yours? Okay, I'm shocked. All right. And so Cammie has hers. You're loyal, Cammie. Loyal and faithful are you. And so I just love this. But nobody else was really impressed about getting that yo-yo. But then years later, Cammie opened that for me. This is not a Tiffany's bracelet, even though the color is somewhat similar to the store. Cammie did an upgrade on my GJ yo-yo, and she gave me the yo-yo for the discriminating elegant woman. And so it's a Kate Spade silver yo-yo. And believe it or not, as weird as I am, I love this silver yo-yo. And so then there was a year when I was shopping for Easy, and I went to Alan and I go, it's crazy. I go, I've looked and looked and looked, and nowhere makes nice men's handkerchiefs anymore. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, you can't find them anywhere. I've looked everywhere for nice men. He goes, men don't use handkerchiefs anymore. And so he acted like it sort of went the way of the floppy disk or something. Men don't use. And I go, what do they do if a woman is crying? He goes, oh God, I hope I'm not next to a woman crying. And I, and so it still is heartwarming to me if I shed a tear and Easy passes me his handkerchief. I do check it first, but. But it's hard to find nice men's handkerchiefs. And I told these boys, I go, a mark of an elegant man is that they carry a handkerchief. So there's one to two elegant men in the room. What can I say? And then some of our men, we know their love language. It's, what is it, ladies? What is their food? Food. They will never turn down a gift card to a restaurant. And, you know, they're happy with food, no matter if it's home-cooked food, if it's a gift card where they can buy food, if it's food that you bought somewhere and put in a little container and brought it to them. Food ought to be the love language of all men, and so we decided we're going to write another book, The Real Love Language of All Men. And so over the years, you know, we've all had some fails and some successes in our gift-giving. But the Houston Chronicle, when it was not the paper it was today, about a decade ago, had an article, an editorial about gift giving. And it said that when some of the wise men, because you know there's not just three, right? We have a nice song, you know, we three kings of Orient are. But the Bible just says many. We believe it was a whole consortium, a whole group. But the Bible speaks of three gifts, and so we've equated that with three wise men. But really, it was many people when, and a whole entourage to follow this star. But the gifts that were spoken of were only three. And so the three wise men's names that sometimes we say, well, they're not found in the Bible, but tradition tells us that they were Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. And so when all these wise men, they being among them, arrived to bring gifts to Jesus, the Chronicle said that actually is what set a precedent, they believed, for the gift-giving that we do at Christmas. And the Bible in Matthew 2:11 recounts the gifts that the wise men brought. One of them was gold. Do you know gold was given to our infant king because it symbolized the fact that he was royal? It was a token of his worth. And so a gift should usually have a meaning behind it. So gold symbolized the worth of this infant king. Frankincense was given. It was a fragrant incense. You know, sometimes now in our essential oils, isn't there frankincense? And so when we use anointing oil, it'll have that frankincense smell that we love. And so it was used as a sacrificial offering. It represented Jesus' deity as well as his priestly function. And the third gift that the Bible tells us about, there may have been more. You know, there are many things that the Bible doesn't recount. But some things we know. And the third gift that the Bible talks about is myrrh, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh was a perfume or an ointment used in burial. And this, many think, signified the fact that Jesus was going to suffer and die. And so while every one of these gifts had a symbolic meaning, they actually had a very practical use also. Matthew 2, 13, 14, and 15. Let's get our Bibles out and read those three scriptures very quickly. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15. Does anybody have Bibles anymore? Have they gone the way of the handkerchief? Okay. Is it just all on your phones? 2, 13, 14, and 15 says, now when they had departed, behold, meaning they is the wise men, the magi, the kings, the entourage of men that followed the star. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, they were in a manger for the delivery of their young child. These were not people of great means. And yet they were able to stay in Egypt for a time and sustain themselves. And so it is very widely believed that these very gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, were the means by which Joseph was able to take his family to Egypt when he was warned to do so. And so it sustained them there till they were able to return without fear of Jesus being killed by Herod. And so there are many little backstories to the stories that we read in the Bible, even as we're going through the scriptures. Now, these three gifts may have saved his life. Your gift sometimes can save a person's life. There have been people in need, and we didn't know it, and we just felt led to give an offering to them, and we found out later that they were on their last diaper for their baby or their last bottle of milk. See, there are things that you do not know, the things that you give, the things that you sow, the things that God prompts you to do, what they're going to mean in someone else's life. And so these three gifts that seem just beautiful and symbolic, I believe they were very instrumental in keeping the life of our Savior safe until he could return to the other city. Now, it's been said that a gift, to be perfect, must meet three criteria in order for it to be considered just right. One, the gift should reflect the one who gives it. Number two, the gift should reflect knowledge of the one who receives it. You know, you don't want to give somebody a brown sweater if their most hated color is brown. So you need to know something about them. So it should reflect knowledge of the one who receives it, knowledge of their taste, knowledge of their desires, knowledge of their needs. Somebody said the most perfect gift is the one they asked for. And see, Cammy made it real easy for me for years. She would send me an email, and it would have links, okay, to the places where I could just click on that she wanted something from that place, and you could just order, pick one of the above, you know. And so somebody said the most perfect gift is the one that somebody asked for. But sometimes people ask for things that are foolish, and they aren't going to last, because number three, the gift also should be of a nature and quality that will hold its value as time goes on. A nature and quality. And so I've bought her things that were in and out of style, like in 10 minutes, okay? But, you know, there are things that hold their value. And I'm sure the men think, yeah, my gift card to that restaurant held its value. Somewhere molecular and on a cellular level, it's in there. It's on me. It's in me and on me. And so that held its value. But I know it's not really fashionable to preach Jesus, just plain old Jesus. We do it here all the time. But the truth is, God gave us the perfect gift. The perfect gift when he sent Jesus. The gift of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave. The gift of Jesus meets all three criteria that even the world talk about for being a perfect gift. Number one, Jesus reflects the one who gave him. He reflects God the Father. Number two, God's gift of his son reflects knowledge of our needs. Number three, the gift of Jesus is certainly of a nature and quality that holds its value as time goes off. Jesus doesn't expire. The gift card doesn't go down to the value of zero. You know, there's no surcharge on him. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. And so God did really give us the perfect gift when he gave us Jesus. So let's look quickly at the three criteria. Number one, Hebrews 1:11 says the Son reflects God's own glory. And everything about him represents God exactly. Jesus himself said that anybody that saw him saw the Father. The Father's words were what he spoke. So he definitely reflected the one who was the gift giver. Number two, Jesus is the perfect gift because God gave him with knowledge of our needs. Jesus became our substitute. We owed a debt. You know that song we sing, we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And so that's so true. Sometimes we think it's a little ditty, but who was going to take the hit for my sins? Could I really do it? Could I really bring to God what was necessary? You know, the sacrifice of lambs and goats for years and years never did it. See, there's nothing I can bring God. But when the blood of Jesus came on the mercy seat, all of a sudden now I have access to God. And so I can come to him freely, not ashamed, not with guilt on me, not worrying about the sins I have committed or will commit, but knowing that if I receive Jesus, all my sins are paid. And so, you know, the little card, I'll read it from here. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, some of us think that's my greatest need. No, not really. If our greatest need had been money, God would send us a banker, an economist. But our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent us a Savior. And so in Jesus, we have what we really, really, really need the most. Our greatest need was redemption. God knew what we needed, and he sent us the perfect gift. Third, the gift of Jesus holds value for all eternity. I've been saved 40 years. He's more valuable to me now. He's not left me. He's not disappointed me. I've been disappointed, but not in him. There have been things that have happened, hard times, easy times, good times, high times. But you know what? He's held his value through all that, and I need to value him, not take him for granted. Jesus is the gift that, like the saying goes, keeps on giving. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave, but the truth is he gave and gave and gave and gave, and he's still giving us today. And so that's why I want to keep my attitude of gratitude forever. Jesus doesn't go out of style. He's not like the last fad. He's not like the handkerchief, you know, that you can't even find anymore, because he's not like those things. So no matter which generation we're from, Jesus is relevant. Jesus, there's no need to update him or trade him in or, oh, that doesn't look right anymore. Jesus is always here. And so every generation needs a Savior to lift them out of sin. Every generation needs a way to come into the righteousness of God. And Jesus will never lose his value. Jesus is the perfect gift. And so we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't have to do anything. Nobody even has to pay for it. Jesus paid. God paid the price. Jesus paid the price for our sins.